Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker, Barrett Ejectation, Ryan Huang with you. Time now for Why It Matters. Ooh, this might be a difficult conversation.
Because it doesn't say very good things about the region, yeah. Right? In a way. But we're all familiar with traffic jams in big cities across Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Jakarta, Bangkok, and things like that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So
perhaps some people will say, oh, actually, no wonder, I'm not surprised at all when we tell them that transport in Southeast Asia is actually responsible for 40% of global greenhouse gas emissions.
What's the 40% cure?
40% and 23% of carbon dioxide. Well, what's the cure? I think that's a good question. A lot of people talking about electric vehicles as being part of the cure, at least.
Or lesser private vehicles, more public transport?
Perhaps.
Electric public transport.
Yeah, electric, exactly. Ride-hailing apps that use electric vehicles. Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Singapore aims to phase out internal combustion engine vehicles and have all vehicles run on cleaner energy by the year 2040. But while efforts made are encouraging, according to a study done by Milieu Insight, it found that despite positive options, there's still a low EV adoption in the region.
Perhaps consumers are perceiving it all wrong. Perhaps there are misconceptions. Maybe they think it is too expensive. I do know in Singapore, a lot of steps have been taken to make it more affordable.
Okay.
But the question then is, considering the current state of events, what can possibly be done to increase the switch to electric vehicles?
That's a good question. Let's see if we can get some answers. Gerald Ang, founder and CEO of Milieu Insight, is on the line with us. Gerald, good morning. How are you?
Morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm actually calling in from Thailand this morning.
Ooh.
Having been here for the past 2 weeks, spending time with my wife and my kids.
Are you in Bangkok by any chance? In Bangkok specifically?
Yes, I've been in Bangkok for the past 2 weeks. I haven't seen my wife and kid for more than 1.5 years.
Wow, I'm
so really glad to be here.
Yeah, this must be a big celebration, yeah? But because we alluded to the jams, right, in places like Bangkok, tell us what it's like there. I mean, pandemic and all, have the jams eased? Are there fewer combustion engine cars on the roads by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly speaking, the very first night I was here, we were stuck in a jam for, I think, about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife was telling me that it was more like an exception rather than a norm. And traffic has really cleared up during the COVID period because people are working from home most of the time.
Yeah.
So things are kind of like quite similar to Singapore right here. But I guess in terms of gatherings in groups, they are a bit lenient in terms of their measures when it comes to that. But everyone's wearing masks, and that's really heartening to see.
Yeah, at least these, you know, safety measures are there. Tell us a little bit about Milieu. I mean, what can you tell us about this business model and Milieu Insight?
Cool, great. So Milieu Insight is a Singapore-based consumer insights agency with a regional presence across 6 markets in Southeast Asia. So we do have offices across most markets in Southeast Asia. We currently manage the largest mobile survey community in the region, where we engage with more than 2 million people through our mobile app called Milieu Surveys, which you can actually download from the app or Play Store to participate in our surveys. So that's really on the kind of like the survey or community management side of our business. But through an online dashboard called Canvas, we also then provide hundreds of consumer-facing organizations with a window and effortless ways to engage with their community daily through surveys. So this really enables our customers to make effective data-driven business decisions on a day-to-day basis while listening to their customers, right? Without the tediousness of managing really expensive and long-drawn research studies.
Mm-hmm.
So in a gist, that's what Milieu does. But I think right from the start, Milieu was born to be the tech-enabled solution to chronic problems within the traditional market research industry, right? Especially in terms of how inefficient it is. Mm-hmm. And what we really want to do with our offerings and our tech-focused approach is that we really hope to make market research accessible to anyone, right? Even charities, non-profit organizations and early-stage startups who might not have very deep pockets for research, but will find data-driven insights invaluable in making critical decisions. So one example of this year we actually launched a Milieu for Good program. So we actually run research studies for charities or non-profit organizations at little or no cost as our own way to really kind of bring positive impact to society through what we do. But I think lastly and really, really most importantly as a company, what we really want to do here is to leverage our offerings to help people understand each other better. we shouldn't look at research as something that's only used by businesses. We also look at market research and opinions gathering as a way to help people to understand how people live better or how people think better, right? And I think people oftentimes live in the echo chambers, right, and have misperceptions about how the people feel or think. So we want to leverage data to maybe really let everyone know that despite our differences in culture, race, or religion across all the different countries in Southeast Asia, we are not so different as human beings after all. And I think this electric vehicle studies that we have done, it's really kind of a step in that direction. But we have also done many other studies when it comes to things like sexual harassment, women's issues, sustainability. So it's a really, really important part of what Milieu does as a company.
The thing is, you know, Asians are often thought to be quite reticent, yeah? So give us a quick overview of the landscape here in Singapore and in the region. Are people even willing to participate in surveys?
Very, very good question. And I think the traditional market research industry is one where people actually have to suffer through 45-minute surveys, very, very corporate-y, business-like surveys that are very serious by nature. But I think one thing that we need to be cognizant about is that the industry has really shifted where online methodologies, digital methodologies are actually more relevant these days because people need insights faster. And I think that with that in mind, we need to really embrace kind of like the more digital methods when it comes to taking part in surveys. And I think it's important when it comes to taking into account the digital methods of taking surveys to really understand that surveys are no longer done with interviewers moderating a survey. Surveys are done remotely via people participating via their survey, via their mobile phones and things like that. And therefore, there needs to be some things we need to take note within the industry of how we can transition the industry from traditional methods to more digital-focused methods.
Yeah.
That's really the crux of what we do at Milieu as well.
Oh, yeah, completely with you on that. I just did one for a school exam. And trust me, it saved a lot of time. Let's talk about this one, this issue about consumers wanting to own EVs. You guys did a survey on this. What'd you find?
Yeah, so really interesting stuff. And I think the whole discussion about EVs has been really dominating the media these days, especially as soon as Elon Musk kind of releases a tweet about electric vehicles.
All you need is for him to say one word and that's it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. The whole kind of like benefits of this whole influential way of influencing the community's opinions these days really working really well. But I think the whole idea about why we did a study about EVs is that I think understanding how we can create a global economy that's environmentally conscious is something close to our heart at Milieu, not just as a company, but it's something that my fellow colleagues at Milieu care passionately about. But when talking about the environment, you know, we can't escape from talking about the future of the automotive industry, right? Mm-hmm. Given the obvious impact day-to-day vehicle transport has to the environment, which you actually mentioned really early on in this conversation. And I think, like, for consumers, we have seen a lot of stories in the media. Companies like General Motors have announced grand plans towards the transition to EVs. And that has created an immense amount of share value for them. You know, at the same time, you also have heard a lot of social buzz about electric cars, right? Mainly driven by swanky new cars introduced by Tesla. You know, those that go from 0 to 60 faster than can even finish a sentence.
Mm.
I think much has been discussed about this topic. But when discussing the transition to EVs, it is important to actually separate the global buzz and excitement about electric vehicles from actual public intent to adopt these electric vehicles, right? So while global buzz can come from every tweet that Elon Musk puts out, actual adoption comes from infrastructure and community acceptance. And I think we need to face the reality that mass market adoption will only come when people find it easy to own and maintain electric vehicles.
Mm.
And I think understanding the opinions of people across the region when it comes to how they feel about what are the key blockers when it comes to adopting such vehicles will be an important step towards introducing policies that can drive adoption. And that's the reason why we have ran this study. So we ran this study across 6,000 respondents across the region. Our goal is to provide a representative view, not to really conclude anything, but to put data out there, right, that will hopefully encourage debate, that will help to chart a path towards greater understanding. And I think all we are doing is really working towards greater adoption of EV, right, in the medium to long-term future. And I think these insights will be quite invaluable to that process.
Mm. You talk about a low adoption rate in Southeast Asia, but Southeast Asia is a large region and there are disparities, right, between countries. So give us an idea of where the adoption rates are the lowest, where the adoption rates are the highest.
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at this region, we look at a developed market like Singapore, and we also look at emerging markets like Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, and other markets like that. Interestingly, you know, while we think that Singapore consumers are more ready for electric vehicles, some other markets like Thailand are actually building infrastructure that allows kind of electric vehicles to be more sustainable as means of transport rather than other countries. So, you know, I went to Hua Hin actually last week for a 1 week beach vacation. And I realized that the number of electric vehicle charging stations is not so much less than petrol or gas charging stations. So for countries that have long haul journeys, long haul trips, I realized that they are making that transition in little ways already. While in Singapore, I think a lot have been done, right? You see charging stations at multi-story car parks, HDB blocks. I think more has to be done in terms of kind of like building infrastructure where people feel that it's convenient to actually drive this vehicle. I think everybody's excited about the Teslas out there.
Yeah.
Actually making a purchase decision is a very different thing. And I think we need to really take note of the difference between perception as well as actual action when it comes to the adoption of such cars.
And that's beautiful, Gerald. Purchasing decision, acceptance, adoption. Slightly left field question here. Would the generational shift in the dominant workforce encourage this? And what I mean by that is the younger generation coming out, they tend to see sustainability beyond it just being trendy. Could they shift things?
Yes, I think that they will shift things. And I think that definitely the transition to electric vehicles will be correlated to general shifts as time passes, right? We have also seen in our data that, you know, younger people are more conscious about the environment. So that's really heartening to hear, but I don't think that's kind of the whole solution, right? I think attitudes is half the battle won. You know, attitudes actually help us to be more open to considering such vehicles. But at the same time also, we need to be very realistic about this. And to really be realistic about this, we need to also understand that, you know, while some people treat vehicles as status symbols, right? You know, or gadgets to be excited about, most people feel that they still view them as means of transport. And I think considering all the other aspects of life and challenges that we face these days during the pandemic, revolving around how to pay for our children's education, you know, how to sustain our bills, and how to really kind of like find the right housing, I think a majority of the population will still be naturally making decisions on car purchases or practicality.
Okay.
Right.
And it's really the early adopters at this point of time that will drive towards kind of like considering these kind of purchases when it comes to making the actual purchase itself.
For sure. But as you said, you know, if the obstacles still remain, for instance, a lack of infrastructure or not enough incentives, if it's too expensive, people still won't buy regardless of their beliefs, right?
Exactly.
So aside from the infrastructure issue, I know that in Singapore, they're trying to address the affordability issue as well. So tell us more about what more you think needs to be done in order to really get this going, in order to make people really feel like they can buy without encumbrances.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. And I think in the survey that we ran, we actually asked the question that in terms of also what are the key blockers when it comes to triggering people to actually decide to purchase an electric vehicle. And I think when we ask respondents across the region on why they are reluctant to consider an EV, the top reason is actually the risk of running out of power, leading to a limited driving range of such vehicles. The second and third top reasons are the inconveniences faced with longer charging time, right, rather than refilling fuel or gas, and having too few charging stations respectively. And we see this in Singapore, but we also see this being very prevalent in other Southeast Asian markets as well. All this really points towards infrastructural changes. Such changes, I think, will eventually gradually evolve at different paces across different countries. And the rate of adoption in each country will likely align with that. It's interesting you brought in price, right? And I was also interested when we actually embarked on this study on how important is price when it comes to the grander scheme of things of adoption of such vehicles. But in comparison, the price of electric vehicles actually came in only as the fourth top reason, beyond the three reasons that I mentioned earlier. So, I mean, beyond Tesla, I think other car manufacturers have contributed tremendously in making electric vehicles more affordable and accessible. And I think what we really need to drive adoption is probably a more two-pronged approach. I think first, we need to educate the public in terms of the benefits of electric vehicles. I think with all this global buzz, we have made quite a bit of progress on this front. But I think more can be done in terms of educating consumers on the positive impact of electric vehicles that brings to the environment beyond just really talking about the latest shiny model. Mm,
absolutely.
So I think that's one thing that we need to solve. I think the second thing we need to solve is that proper infrastructure that I mentioned, so that the driving and maintenance of electric vehicles is seen as convenient and affordable, right? If not more convenient and affordable than petrol or gas cars. Mm-hmm. And only then we will see mass adoption, and we will see that at this point of time, it will be mainly kind of the early adopters making the switch. I think that mass adoption within the next few years is possible, but I think more must be done to really kind of like reach that tipping point. And I feel that we haven't really reached that tipping point yet when it comes to the grander scheme of things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to leave everyone to think about this today. Someone in his 70s recently told me, sustainability is not my problem. It's your problem because you are the young people taking over. Yeah. Go get angry about that. Gerald Ang, founder and CEO of Milieu Insight, online with us. Gerald, thank you for your time. Take care and enjoy Thailand, yeah?
Yeah, Ken, thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.